we asked Ron Van Dam a very simple question. What do you think of the Ron Van Dam Show?
It can be exhilarating at times. It can be horrible.
You have to admire the guy's honesty. You are listening to Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the guy to whom they refer to in the title of the damn thing. A lot of people don't know this, but you know that musical singing group, the Four Tops? I was the fifth top. Yes, I was. But I had to discontinue the tour with the group because I had an ingrown toenail. That's true. You know that song that they did, I'll Be There? Well, I wasn't. There's a lot of things you don't know about me. You don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know me. Enough background music. The theme of the program by the lovely and talented Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. Opening announcement, the comedy bits, comedy genius, I think, John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen. Google him, he's got some wonderful websites. And the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program, she's not really British. She's Nicole Reed. She books many of the national interviews that we do on the program because I'm incapable of doing it myself. I'm also incapable of tying my shoes because my feet are about 6 feet away from my hands. All in all, that's the show. Good night, everybody. What would you like me to talk about today? Your choice, Ming Dynasty or hot dogs? I don't want to talk about either one. The Ming Dynasty, what a disaster. Well, is it still around? I don't think so. Hot dogs, not a good idea. Not a good idea. Somebody decided to grind up animals and put them in intestine casing. That's a double insult. No way, thank you. I don't care how much mustard or sauerkraut you have. Not a great idea. But yet, one of the largest selling pieces of food in the world. And I'm referring to the Ming Dynasty. All right, never mind. How are you? Good to be with you today. You know, we're on the precipice of the autumnal season. I can't wait. I cannot wait. You know, I should have lost 100 pounds by now over the summer because I was sweating so much. Isn't that how you lose weight? You sweat the fat out of you? I think it is. People used to wrap themselves in plastic and walk into a sauna and sit there for a couple of hours. Of course, they're all dead now. But you can lose a lot of weight that way. But I didn't lose any weight sweating so much. There's been a drought in the area, although I've sweated so much. I can't imagine why I haven't drowned in my own sweat. I just don't know. It's becoming political season soon. We've got the midterms. Sounds like something I should study for at night. You know, I actually studied for my urine test, and I got to tell you something. I did rather well on it. And when the report came back, it said clear, not cloudy. And I thought, well, either they're talking about my urine or this is a weather report. I don't know which it is. I did have a blood test recently, and the results were okay. I have no tremendously horrible things going on with me beyond the realm of what is already tremendously horrible. As I said, my urine is clear, and thank goodness, it's not partly cloudy. It's clear. The glucose, somewhat under control. What are you going to do? You know, guys got to eat. Cholesterol, a little higher than it should be, but nothing to be concerned about. Blood pressure, pretty much on the mark. It's just the mental condition that's not working out. That's a matter of opinion, isn't it? Raise your hand. How many people do you know that have pretty much just lost it completely? Look, everybody's hand went up. Yours too, right? You can raise your hand. No one's going to see you. Yeah, don't we know a lot of people who mentally have just gone over the hill all of a sudden? I know. What's going on with that? Remember the COVID thing? That was a long time ago, a couple of months now. Remember the COVID thing back in 2020, 2021, some of 2020? Do you remember all of that? It was a long haul of problems, wasn't it? As a result, I think there should be T-shirts that say, I survived COVID-19. Or you can list the various variants if you'd like. I think those T-shirts would do very well. So here's my offer to you. I, as an entrepreneur and a talk show host, would like to start silk screening T-shirts that say, I survived COVID-19, and then, of course, a listing of the variants. It will come in three sizes, small, medium, large. We'll do extra large. We'll make it four sizes. I hate so many SKUs, but we'll do it. I think they would sell like hotcakes. Problem is, hotcakes don't sell very well anymore. It's a phrase, millennials. I know they're pancakes. I know that. I've been to the International House of Pancakes. I know what pancakes are. But there was a time in a prior generation when they called them hotcakes. I don't know. I didn't make it up. I have not been to the International House of Pancakes in years. Years. I'm scared to go in there. Because there's so many people in there eating pancakes. They don't even order the pancakes. They just, I don't know what they're eating in there. Do you remember that the House of Pancakes, excuse me for talking so much. I'm sorry. There was a point about 6 years ago, before this pandemia thing, where the International House of Pancakes was not doing very well because many of the countries represented in the International House of Pancakes were dropping out of the union. So they were going to change it to the International House of Burgers. Do you remember that? They were going to change it from IHOP to I don't know what to do. they were going to do burgers. They were going to feature burgers. And that never came to pass because I think that the owner of the International House of Pancakes, Robert Pancakes is his name, by the way. That was his actual last name, Robert Pancakes. Had a very difficult life, was harassed in school and shamed because of his name. Robert Pancakes said, I'm gonna make a union of all the countries. I'm going to take the Belgian waffles and pancakes from around the world, and I'm going to open up the International House of Pancakes. But I'm going to make sure that they're in buildings that look like very strange, psychedelic Swiss chalets. And I'm going to invite the public into my International House of Pancakes. We will have pancakes from throughout the world, even though that really doesn't exist. And when they come in, I'm going to dazzle them with syrup. I am going to have so many flavors of syrup. It's going to twist their heads off. I am going to introduce a flavor called boysenberry that most people don't even know what the hell it is, but they're going to pour it on their pancakes. I'm going to have people eating breakfast here every single day. Well, Robert Pancakes had a dream. It lasted for a good many decades, and then it fizzled out. So Robert Pancakes said, what am I going to do? Maybe we should concentrate on burgers since that seems to be a big seller right now. But he never went there. Because in a tragic boating accident, Robert Pancakes saw his last pancake. Yeah, he was out in the Nantucket area. He was out on his private yacht, the Pancake. And he was fishing, and he thought he caught a shark, and he was trying to reel the shark in, but the shark had other ideas, gave one good tug, which sent Robert Pancake flinging off the deck of his yacht, never to be seen again. Most people don't know this story because I made it up, but just the same, it's feasible, isn't it? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your fact of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's fact of the day.
It was a sad day at the funeral of Robert Pancake. A lot of people showed up, and it's very, very sad, very, very sad. He was buried at sea because they couldn't find his body, and technically, that's what happened to him. But the name lived on because Robert Pancake actually had a daughter named Wendy. And rather than getting into the pancake thing, she sold off the franchise and started Wendy's. Now, you know that's not true because a guy named Dave started Wendy's. Yeah, I know. And named it after his lovely daughter, who apparently was not all that attractive. Probably because she ate too many of his burgers. Dave Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. Was the creator and owner of Wendy's for the longest time. Dave Thomas also passed away, as many tend to do at a point. Do you know the story of Dave Thomas passing away, the founder and owner of Wendy's? Well, he was on his yacht, and he was fishing, and he had a big shark at the end of his fishing line, and the shark decided to give one good tug, pulling Dave Thomas off of his yacht, the Square Burger, that was the name of the yacht, and Dave Thomas was never seen again. Wendy took over and started serving breakfast in her restaurants, to no avail. Nobody shows up for that stuff. Who goes to Wendy's for breakfast? Raise your hand. Nobody, right? There you go. All right, I have a very interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. She is, her name is Catherine, and she is an author. And she is with the good people at National Geographic Kids, to be specific. And she's talking about weird things. That is what I do for a living. Well, that's what I do now for a living. I was formerly the Prime Minister of Israel. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. It was a short gig. Didn't work out too well. No, it was never the... I'm kidding. Look, a lot of you... Look, you believe me. You went, Ron, you were the Prime Minister of Israel? No. I just said I was. Which leads me to something that I've talked about many times on the program, and I'm going to do it again because I do make a point of it. There's nothing wrong with little tiny lies. There really isn't. If it's going to get you ahead in life, or it's going to save the embarrassment to another person. For example, if your wife says to you, do I look fat in this dress? You have to say no. even though, of course you do. You look fat in everything. You can't say that stuff. Yeah, and it's just to the women because they get really sensitive about that. If a guy says, do I look fat in this? And then the wife says, well, you do. Well, then you do. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. There's no argument involved. But if a woman says that to you, do I look fat in this? You have to say no. You have to say no. Otherwise, you could start losing some limbs very, very quickly. Cover your penis because she will not like that response. So that's where a little white lie not only saves one's feelings, but saves a good amount of violence that could result from the wrong answer. So I realize that tiny little lies that don't hurt anybody are probably okay, although I don't use them really. But I did recently. I went to a restaurant and... I was just kidding around, man. I was just kidding around. And this girl answers the phone. By the way, restaurants, to make a reservation, one of the few places you can go where someone actually answers the phone. Right. Yeah, you can call a restaurant, and they'll actually pick up if they're there. Whoa. Old school. So this young lady answers the phone and said, can I help you? I said, yes, I'd like to make a reservation for 4 at 6 o'clock. She says, well, we're rather busy. How about 6:10? I said, all right, you can do what you can do, please. She says, what is your name? And I said, Dr. Van Dam. Well, when I showed up, I got my table at 6 o'clock. There's nothing wrong with throwing a doctor into things, and I'll tell you why. You don't have to be a surgeon or a medical doctor in order to be called doctor. Did you know that? You can simply go to school and get a doctorate in just about anything, and you're a doctor. You can take a course in garbage, which is the profession of removing garbage from the curb or from somebody's home. That's a garbage collector, a sanitation worker. It's a doctor of garbage. You can get a doctor in just about anything. You can be a philosopher. Which we all know is not a thing. You could be a philosopher and be a doctor of philosophy. Who knew? Who knew? Look, if they're handing out diplomas for people to just walk around saying, I think this and I think that and I think that it's blue outside because that's the color of the sky. People, here's what philosophers say. People don't really know what they're doing until they figure it out. Whoa, 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 whoa. Here's a diploma for you. Philosophy. Give me a freaking break. If you're a philosophy major in school, I'm sorry to insult you, but give me a freaking break. So I can be a doctor. Because when you call a restaurant to make a reservation for a table, and they say, can I have your name? I go, Dr. Van Dam. They never say, oh, really? What kind of doctor are you? They never, ever say that. So am I lying? No, I'm not, because I am a doctor of talk show hosts. That's what I am. I have a diploma, not specifically in that, but it could have been. We're all philosophers. As soon as we give our opinions on life, we're philosophers. If they're going to hand out papers for that shit, then I'm going to use it to get a table at a restaurant. Who are you trying to kid? Come on. Give me a break. So for now on, you can call me doctor, and I would be referred to doctor for now on if you don't mind. You can be whatever you want. You don't want to go the extra mile in being called doctor because you think it's phony or you think it's a stretch. Whatever. That's your problem. I've had it. I've been alive long enough on this planet to start earning some credentials here, you know? Give me some space. That's why in many cultures, the elderly are considered to be the wise people. Not in this culture in the United States. No, the elderly are like, whoa, don't let them fall down. You know, stop it. Stop it. The elderly are supposed to be wise. In other cultures, that is the consideration. So I've lived long enough to be able to earn a title. No, I wasn't Prime Minister of Israel. I wouldn't be if I could. Just because it's a lot of work. And it's just too specific a job. But I am a doctor now. I've proclaimed myself. I hereby, under the oath of office, I hereby proclaim to the land and the kingdom that I am now a doctor. Really? What kind of doctor are you?
A doctor of life.
A doctor of philosophy?
Yeah, whatever.
My guest joins us next about weird things, which probably is fitting. No, I wasn't the Prime Minister of Israel.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Catherine Williams joins us now. She's a National Geographic Kids editor, and there's a new book on the horizon. How you doing, Catherine?
Good, how are you?
I'm great, thank you very much. This is a fascinating book for kids and for adults, I'm finding. Tell me about this. This is Weird But True. Is this a series, Weird But True?
Yeah, so Weird But True is one of National Geographic Kids' favorite series. Usually these are little books with tons of fun facts in them. They're about a sentence long, a lot of photos. This book is Weird But True World 2023, and we're taking that idea and we're making it super-sized. It's a really big book with a ton of info in it, but it's all super fun, and it takes you from continent to continent around the world and showing you kind of the weirdest, coolest places, animals, events, that the world has to offer.
Catherine, as editor, how do you approach something like this? There's weird things going on all over the place, even in my neighbor's house. So I'm sure you're not going to write about that. But I mean, you've got the world in front of you. How did you find these facts?
Oh, it's pretty tough. I mean, yeah, there's like almost endless weird things in the world, and it's kind of challenging to say, you know, what's weird and what's not in different places around the world, because we want to find things that are weird for pretty much everyone. We have a team of writers and editors that help us, you know, gather this info, write it. And editors at National Geographic Kids, we are so used to finding weird things that we kind of have a sixth sense for. So anytime we run across something weird, we save it for later. But for this book, it was pretty challenging because we wanted to have kind of a diverse entries from countries around the world and make sure we're really showing most of the world.
The weird world. Yes, the weird part of the world. The world is weird. I guess it's supposed to make us feel normal, but we're all weird too. What are some of the give me a little taste of some of the weird things that I would find?
Yeah, so we have some like really cool, kind of majestic, natural stuff. One of my favorites are these crystal caves in Mexico, where when you go into this cave, it's full of gigantic crystals. They're 36 feet long, and some of the largest ever discovered, and they've been forming for thousands and thousands of years. And each one of these crystals, because we love to measure things in the weight of elephants, each one of these crystals can weigh 55 tons, which is as heavy as 9 adult African elephants. So these are gigantic crystals, And we have a photo of a spelunker climbing on this crystal, and he looks just tiny compared to these giant crystals. So they're super, super cool. Wow. So we've got places like that that are totally unique and majestic. We also have some silly things, like the World Bog Snorkeling Championship in Wales, where people put a snorkel and a mask and flippers on, and they race through a muddy bog and try to go as fast as they can while they're wearing costumes, often dinosaurs, sharks.
Wow.
And some people even take a bike, and they snorkel while they bike through a bog in the United Kingdom. So we range from some really just stunning photos, the coolest thing you've ever seen, to some really wacky, fun stuff from around the world.
Wow. Is there a part of the world that seems to be weirder than the other?
America's pretty weird.
Yes, yes.
We do a lot of weird stuff. And, I mean, just to say, I think we don't think the word weird is a bad thing. So I think it's wonderful. We have a lot of those, like, roadside attractions with, like, the largest ball of yarn, a corn palace, you know, and one of the Dakotas, like just all kinds of weird stuff just for the sake of being weird in America. So
yeah.
America definitely has a lot of weird stuff.
You know, the great thing about the series is that using the vehicle of weird, kids can actually travel the world and go to different places in their heads. And I think that's an important way to get people to open their minds.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we like to do at Nat Geo Kids is, like, take readers who might be intimidated by nonfiction content and create a book that's fun and wacky enough to get those kids that might not want to read about, you know, real things in the world, get them excited and interested in the world. So, yeah, exactly.
Sure.
We hope that this is kind of a vehicle to get kids excited.
Yeah, also, yeah. I understand you live in Washington, D.C., which is kind of the home base for weird. So that's interesting. I'm talking politically. And I understand you have a great fascination for the creepy, crawly, weird creatures.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for kind of the unloved animals in the world, like bugs and amphibians and reptiles. I can tell you one of my favorite frogs in this book is the hairy frog. It has these skin tassels on its sides that look like hair, which is why it's called the hairy frog. But the really weird thing about it is that it has bones in its fingers that it can pop through its skin and turn into claws.
Ooh.
So it's nicknamed the Wolverine frog, like the X-Men, and it can use those to defend itself. It's a very strange frog for multiple reasons.
Wow. How many years have you been doing these series?
So I've been working on Weird But True for a few years, three or four, and I've been at National Geographic Kids for a little over 7 years. So I work on all kinds of books, preschool all the way up to kind of 13 plus.
Yeah. The great thing about National Geographic Kids and National Geographic is that the stories are told through these amazing illustrations and amazing photographs. And that really does draw us in as well.
Yeah, there's some really stunning images in this book. And some things that I don't even need to describe to you why they're weird. If you saw the photo of it, you'd be like, yep, that's weird.
Yeah. Tell me about the world's most remote toilet.
Oh, it's one of my favorite little things in the book. Because we have so many of these, like, really cool, majestic places, and then we have this toilet. It's in Siberia. It's remote because it's part of a weather station, so it actually makes sense that it's remote. But it's this little outhouse that sits on a cliff, and it just looks so precarious. It looks like the worst place to use the bathroom in the world, but it's so funny to me. The most remote toilet in the world. We also have, like there's an ATM on top of a mountain in Pakistan. So
what are you going to do?
It's a really regular thing.
Why would they have
it?
What are you going to buy up there? That's weird.
You never know.
You never
you
know.
Your account balance.
I guess. I suppose. All right. What is the full title? It's a long title of the book. What is the full title?
So the full title is Weird But True World 2023.
Okay. And it's available everywhere, of course, and online. Is there a website where we can follow all of these goings-ons?
Yeah, so we have our National Geographic Kids.com website, so you can always check us out there. And we have, you know, digital articles for kids and stuff too. And info about our books. And, you know, you can find us on online retailers and, you know, wherever books are sold.
Well, there is
out today.
Yeah. Oh, cool. There's not a kid or an adult that wouldn't enjoy just sitting down and having fun with this book. So congrats for doing it. And please continue doing it for some more years, if you would, please. Catherine Williams, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you, Catherine. That was pretty cool. That's a way to get kids to learn. Put everything in a context of something that they're interested in or that they find fascinating, and you'll be surprised how fast they retain that information, as long as they still have brain cells. All right, I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. You take care of yourself. I mean, seriously, because you do look a little fat in that dress. I didn't want to say it, but you kind of do. It must be the dress. It's not. It must be the dress. Yeah, that's what it is. It must be the dress. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.